Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 12, 29 again. Mark 12 and verse 29 again. We talked about loving God last week, about the command to love God. I want us to take and apply that in our lives. How do we do that? Just some practical things that will help you in this most important relationship of all. So reading from verse 28, Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first commandment of all is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment." Now, that's a lot of love. All your soul, heart, strength, and mind. And what it's driving us to is, what it's directing us to is to be in the place where we actually love him like that. Now, probably you come this morning and you say, "I'm not sure that's true of me. I'm not sure that's where I'm actually living." Let me encourage you this morning. God wants it. And what God wants, he makes possible in our lives. And if you're willing, God is more than willing. And he will work something in your life where you can love him like that. And you can have that closer walk and that serene and calm, that serene and heavenly frame of mind. Let's pray. Father, would you bless us this morning, Lord? We thank you for your word. Thank you for the commands, even those that, Lord, look at first sight to us absolutely impossible. Lord, would you help us today as we look to you? Help us to come to that place where we love you. Lord, it seems a strange thing to ask, Lord, that you would help us to love you. And yet, Lord, you know us. You know that we're not capable in ourselves. Lord, where there are obstacles and where there are barriers in people's minds this morning, Lord, would you shine the light on them that they might see them? And Lord, would you help us to come into that sweeter, peaceful, joyful place where we love you with all our heart? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last week we looked at the loving God, and we looked at it. It's a command. Right? Now, God doesn't give you commands lightly. When God tells you to do something, he expects you to do it. So it's not just, you know, a holy aspiration, if you like. No, it's a command. God says, "I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind." And we talked about the fact that really what it meant was putting him first in our lives, making him number one in our lives. But the truth is that, you know, we also talked about obeying his commandments. Do you know that you can actually obey his commandments and not love him? Now, you can't love him and not obey his commandments, but you can obey his commandments, at least in your own mind, and not love him. It's kind of wooden. You know, it's kind of, you're doing it because you're supposed to do it. And sometimes we like to do those kind of things because we like to feel good about ourselves. And so what we do is we try and obey, and we end up in the place where we're in our lives where we're trying to obey, where we're trying to do right, but it's kind of wooden. Right? That's what I want to help you with this morning. I want to help you get over the wooden part of it and for it to come to a sweet relationship. Because remember, God is looking for a relationship with you and I. And we're going to see, listen, he enjoys us. He wants us to enjoy him too. Sometimes we get the false notion that, you know, that Christianity is a religion. And in religion, you don't enjoy yourself. You don't even think about or talk about enjoying yourself. But you know what? The supreme joy of life is to enjoy him. He wants you to enjoy him. All right, so first of all, I want to encourage you to do this, to remember his love for you. Remember his love for you. It's very easy for us to forget or to fail to remember how much he loves us. It's very easy for us to live our lives and not cap that. Because remember, the basis of this love relationship is he first loved us. We love him because He first loved us. And if we don't catch that, we're going to miss out on the power, if you like, the engine, if you like, for driving this love relationship with him, because he first loved us. So Ephesians 3:18 and 19 says, that we may be able to comprehend, that's to seize upon, to know, to understand with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, what Paul is doing there is he's grasping for words to try and express what he knows of the love of God. And it's a prayer for us. He knows that in and of ourselves, we're not going to understand it. He's praying that we would actually get a hold of it, that we would understand it. God loves you in a deeper, richer, fuller way than you, humanly speaking, can understand. Because humanly speaking, you love because people love you or because there's something in it for you. And you really, humanly speaking, we don't understand the idea of a God who would love us so much that he sent his son to die for us, even though we really didn't care about him. And remember, that's the key to you coming to the place where you love him, when you understand his love for you. Look at this verse. I love this verse. Absolutely love this verse. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Right now, Old Testament verse, it's speaking to the city of Jerusalem. It's speaking to the nation of Israel. And you say, well, hang on, does that apply to me? Well, you know, you can't take everything from the Old Testament, all the promises from the Old Testament, and apply them directly to you, because some of them don't belong to you. But when you look at something like this, here's what you've got. You've got the heart of God for Israel. You've got the heart of God for Jerusalem. Right? Now, they didn't experience all that he had for them. Like, they never really did. And we know the reason why. The reason why is because Israel would never yield and let him have his way. They were always doing their own thing. They were always turning away from him, and they never really enjoyed all of it. But the heart of God for this rebellious nation was that he wanted to save, that he wanted to rejoice over them with joy, that he wanted to rest in his love. Like, isn't there something so restful, so beautiful, so wonderful about loving somebody? When the idea that you can rest in your love, that you can just enjoy your love. Israel would never give him rest in his love, though. As soon as things were going well for them, they would do their own thing, go their own way, and he would have to deal with them yet again. I think that sometimes that's true for believers, too. But the heart of God is he wants to rest in his love for you. He wants to just be free to love you. That's his nature. His nature is to bless. His nature is to pour out his love. And that's his very nature for you. I love the last part of it there. He will joy over thee with singing. To me, the picture there is of a mother with her baby singing, enjoying her baby. Ever see a mother, the love affair that there sometimes is between a mother and her baby? I mean, it's special to watch when they are just enjoying their baby and they are loving their baby. That's what God's talking about for us. That he wants to joy over us with singing. And that's what he wants in his relationship with you. That's the relationship he's inviting you into. He's not inviting you into a relationship whereby you have to earn your stripes. No, you're there. He just wants you to love him back and to follow him, and you can enjoy the sweetest relationship that life has to offer. And no other relationship can offer you that. No other relationship can offer you that resting in his love and that joying over thee with singing. God wants you to enjoy this relationship with him. He wants you to understand it's not a burden he's put on you that you have to carry till you get to glory. No, it's something he wants you to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy this relationship with him. Two thoughts. First of all, meditate on it. Now, what does it mean to meditate on it? I mean, just think about his love for you. Think about it regularly. The last point in our mess, we're going to look at the Shema. And Israel were to constantly have God in their minds, in their thinking, in their talking, everything. Their lives were to be lives that were just, you know, just full of God, if you like. Think about his love for you. Remind yourself of it every day. The world will knock it out of you very quickly. Because the world doesn't love you, but remind yourself of his love for you. Remind yourself of the fact that your Heavenly Father loves you, no matter what's going on in your life. You know, get the verses, some of the verses that we looked at. Find some of your own where God talks about his love for you and underline them and memorize them and speak them to yourself about how well you are loved. And remember, it's not based on your performance. It's not based on how good you are. You know, it's not based on you. It's based upon him. And as you see his love and know his love and live in his love, what you find is you find this sweet and beautiful relationship. Let me give you something else to do. Be thankful. The Bible says that in everything, we're to give thanks. Now, I realize and you realize that there are times in my life when God does some things that I don't particularly like, and I've got to be thankful, even if it's through the tears. And those are realities. Those are times. I'm to be thankful all the time. But listen, do you know what? Most of my life is not dwelling on hard things that God is doing in my life. Most of my life is living in the smile of his blessing every day. You get up in the morning and you've had a good night's sleep. Give thanks. You come down to your family and enjoy your family. Give thanks. You get to eat food. You get to breathe his air. You've got blessing after blessing after blessing that gets poured out in your life. Learn to give thanks. Learn to be a person who is thankful. It's not our nature. But you know, in any love relationship, gratitude is an important part of it, isn't it? I mean, the best love relationships get old when there's no gratitude anymore. Listen, you may be married, you may love your wife, but you never say thanks to her for cooking the food. You know what? That gets old after a while. Gets to being just a duty, just a something that she has to do, just a something that she's got to do. Gets old. Husband may bring in the money. He may take care of certain things around the house, and nobody says thanks to him. Gets old after a while. But you know what it really means is it means that the relationship inside you is not there. And when you purpose to be thankful, when you purpose during your day to thank God for the things he does and the things he gives and the blessings he pours out on you, something happens inside of you. You see, gratitude is an action and it's an attitude as well. It's something you do, but it's something that kind of catches a hold of you. And when you start looking at life gratefully, what happens is things change for you. And here's the reality. You got enough bad stuff going on in your life that you could moan all week. And some of you probably do. you spend quite a bit of time moaning. But you know what? You've also got enough good stuff going on in your life that you could give thanks a whole lot. And you know, if you would decide that instead of moaning and complaining, because all your moaning and complaining ultimately is against God. If you would decide that instead of moaning and complaining, I'm going to be grateful for what I do have. You know, it will put a smile on your face and it will put a joy in your heart and it would kindle this love relationship that you have with him. It would stir you in this love relationship. See, there are practical things that you can do in your life that are going to help you. First of all, meditate on his love for you. And secondly, be thankful. Be grateful to him for all that he's doing in your life, because he's doing a lot. He's doing a lot. We can so easily miss those things. And you know, if you get to be a grateful person on the inside, it'll show on the outside. It'll show on the outside. And you know what'll happen too? This is not your intention in doing it. What'll happen is people want to be around you. Don't you want to be around those grateful people? You want to be around those bright people who are thankful for the things that are happening and are talking about their thankfulness? Be grateful. Recognize the things God is doing in your life and be grateful. Second thing is this. Abide in him. Abide in him. Now, John 15, verse 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Right? That's wonderful, isn't it? God loves me. Jesus loves me just as the Father had loved him. I don't deserve that, but it's true. Jesus didn't tell any lies. The Father loves him, and he loves me, and he and the Father are one. So you know what? The Father loves me just as the Father loved Jesus. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to do something to achieve that. No, that love is there. Now, I can mess up the manifestation of that in my life. We talked about that. I can live wrong, and God's love for me is going to be manifested in discipline, but he still loves me. But he says, continue in my love. Just abide. Remain in my love. Just keep in that place. Keep in that sweet place. God loves me. He wants to bless me. He wants to give me good things. He wants to pour out blessing after blessing on my life. He says, stay there. Don't walk away from it. Don't put yourself in a place where you're outside his will and he can't bless you the way he wants to bless you. Continue in his love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That idea of abiding, of remaining in relationship with him. And remember, it's all about relationship. This is not just about you doing. This is about relationship. It's about you remaining in this relationship. Here's what I would say to you on this point. Slow down. Slow down. Slow down and give yourself enough time to enjoy the relationship with him. I think that we are the busiest people that have probably ever lived. And by that, I don't mean that we're busy doing anything productive. I think we're just busy. We're just doing. You know, you can do all day and late into the night and never run out of stuff to do. There's so much that you can do. There's so much that you can occupy your time with. There are so many things you can fill yourself with and amuse yourself with. But the problem is that when you do that, what happens is those things get between you and God. Because he wants your attention. He wants you to relate to him. He wants to walk in relationship with you. And when you do and do and do and go after stuff and go after stuff, you can fill all your time. You can try and fill the hole inside you, but you're going to miss out on the most important thing. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, the real problem with the Christian life comes where people do not usually look for it. It comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. You know that feeling? You wake up in the morning and you come downstairs and, oh man, there are so many things, the hopes, the plans, the things that are going to happen, the things you hope don't happen. They rush at you like wild animals. That's a great expression. He said, they rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. Now, oftentimes you miss it just at that point, don't you? You wake up in the morning and the day starts going and you're into the day and there's all these things going on and you've missed out on being with him. Now, listen, that doesn't make sense. The Bible says that we're supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. He's to be number one. You and I both know that's the sweetest relationship in life, that relationship with him. And yet we'll let 1,000 things crowd him out in our lives. We'll let 1,000 things in that are not as helpful to us. All the problems and things that you worry about, very often, that's not the way it plays out anyway. He says, no, I want you to spend time with me. I want you to give me your time. You see, so many things that go on in our lives that we fill and we meet in ways that are really not helpful to us, if not downright wrong. Okay? You're lonely. So what do you do when you're lonely? Can't stand that feeling. I got on the phone. Can't stand that feeling. I get on the internet. Can't stand that feeling. I watch something on the TV. I listen to music. I hate that feeling of being lonely. I just run from that feeling of being lonely to all things like a headless chicken. You're bouncing around going from things to things. And God is saying, hey, come to me. come to me. The reason you're lonely is because I put that in you. But I put it in you to be met in me. I didn't put it in you for you to go around the world looking for somebody to take care of you. I put it in you to relate to him. Did you ever do that? Did you ever find you were lonely and instead of doing the things you normally do, you cried out to him and you found yourself in a wonderful, sweet time talking to him? Because he loves you. You were made for him and he wants that relationship. Hey, listen, when you're lonely, go to him. What about when you're bored? It's incredible that we could be bored with all that we have, but we can't we? What do you do when you're bored? Oftentimes we do something that's entirely wrong when we're bored, don't we? We'll do something that we should not be doing. You know, we'll fix it in some way that is wrong for us because we're bored. You know, we'll take a drug, we'll go drinking, we'll be immoral, we'll do something just because we're bored. You know, we'll watch something we shouldn't be watching. You know, listen, what God wants in those times in your life is he wants you to seek him. Nothing's going to satisfy you like he does. Nothing can. He made you, and he made you with this great need in you for him. I'm glad he did, by the way. Because otherwise we'd never seek him. He made us with this great need for him. But we have an ability to fix it with any number of things and avoid going to him with it. One of the old mystics, Julian of Norwich, wrote this long ago. he said, "This is the reason why we have no ease of heart or soul, for we are seeking our rest in trivial things that cannot satisfy, and not seeking to know God, almighty, all-wise, all-good. He is the true rest. It is his will that we should know him, and his pleasure that we should rest in him. Nothing else will satisfy us." Nothing else will satisfy us. You see, you've got a lot of triggers in your life that trigger you to do stuff. And you, what those triggers are is they're things that God has put in you to draw you to him. And when you go the wrong direction with them, oh, listen, you can pass the day, but you'll end up going to bed at night with the hole still there. You'll end up not having it fixed because there's only one way to fix it. You see, all of our addictions are our vain attempts to find satisfaction apart from God. All of our addictions, that's what they are. They're our vain attempts to find satisfaction apart from God. My son Ori was looking at one of his daughters, and she was very young, and she had Blanky. And you know, for a child, Blanky's the most important thing in the world, and Blanky was gone at this point, and there was howling going on, and she was upset. She had to have Blanky. And he looked at her, and he said, he told me later on, he said, "You know, Blanky is her attempt to make life work apart from God." You know, the truth is that you and I have things that make life work apart from God. And they're detrimental to us. They are detrimental to us. He wants us to abide in his love. He wants us to enjoy him. But if we go off doing a million things in a day, you know, and you're lying in bed at night with your Bible open as you nod off, spent, worn out, given to all the wrong things, and you've never spent time with him, or you've just kind of bounced off him at some point in the day, you're not living. That's not living. If your work makes you so busy that you don't have time to be with him, and by the way, I doubt it, listen, something's wrong. He's put a so many things in your life that will draw you to him, that will draw you into that relationship, not because he wants to demand something of you, not because he wants your wooden obedience, but because he wants you, and he wants you to enjoy him. And he's put those things in your life to draw you, to help you. Learn to deal with the stuff that comes your way. Learn to deal with loneliness by going to him. They say that George Mueller was married three times. He lived to be quite an old man, and all three of his wives died before he did, right? And George Mueller came to his third wife died when he was in his 90s. And I suppose that in your 90s is kind of a hard time to live because most of the people that you've lived with are gone by then. And so George Mueller, in his last few years, was terribly lonely. So you know what he did? He read through his Bible three times a year. He read through his Bible. He just spent time with God. He just sought his... Now you say, hang on a minute, Pastor. That kind of doesn't sound like much fun to me. Listen, the stuff you're doing is not really fun, is it? The stuff you're filling the gap with is not really getting it for you, is it? See, the reality is, he wants us. He wants fellowship. Nothing in your life is ever going to happen by accident. When you find yourself with a need, with a yearning, with a longing, he's aware of it. And he doesn't want you to fulfill it in a wrong way, and he doesn't want you to fulfill it in an empty way. He wants you to come to him. Come to him. Enjoy fellowship with him. You know, if we would spend as much time with him as we do doing frivolous, trivial things, how much more of a relationship, how much sweeter would our lives be if we just spent that time with him? So he wants you to abide in him. Then let me talk you through this one. Learn to live a disciplined life. Now, I know I talk to 21st century people, and you know, you look at discipline, you say, oh man, I've blown it. I don't know how to live a disciplined life. I mean, I try, but I keep failing, and I'm not able. I'm not able to do the things I want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I often end up doing. But let me give you some help. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness." Now look at that next one, temperance. That temperance is self-control. Now, it's a fruit of the Spirit, so it's a different kind of self-control. Really, it's a spirit control, but it's me being enabled to actually do what the Spirit wants me to do. And that's a fruit of walking in the Spirit in my life. Do you realize that you may not have discipline in your life, but you can? You can have discipline because God has made allowance for that. God has planned for that. Now, let me give you three things that I think will help you enormously as far as your walk with God and as far as your relationship with him, as far as this love relationship you have with him. First of all, having daily devotions. Right? Now, listen, this sounds so trite. Why would I have to say it to a room full of Christians? And yet, if we were to be honest this morning, many of you struggle with just having daily devotions. You struggle with just spending time with him. You struggle with actually getting that time. And your life kind of runs on, and you know, you find yourself spending days where you're not really connecting with him at all. Now, no relationship can survive like that. No relationship can survive without that time that you spend with him. Now, it's not you fulfilling a religious duty. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not a box-checking thing here, right? It's you actually spending time with him where you have devotions, where you enjoy him and he gets to enjoy you. That's what it's talking about. Talking about the idea that you can spend time with him and you can develop that habit. Let me tell you what I think you should do, right? And again, I'm all against box-checking, right? I'm against you getting out of the box, and some of you are box checkers. Some of you like to kind of say, okay, here's what I got to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to check the box. Now, I'm all against box checking, right? But let me tell you what I think will be helpful for you. If you would plan this morning that by God's grace, every day for the rest of your life, you were going to spend time with him before the day got going. You say, I could never do that. That's for the rest of my life, that's too much. If you ask me to do that, I'm going to fail. Now, look, you may not make it every day. But do you not think that would be a worthy goal for you and I to have in our lives? Do you not think that would be kind of part of my love relationship with him? that for every day for the rest of my life, I would plan on spending time with him. I would plan on opening my Bible. I would plan on getting with him before I got into the thrust of the day. That I would plan on being with him. That I would plan on reading a portion of Scripture. That I would plan on talking to him and giving him time to talk to me. Do you think that would be a wise thing for me to do? Not a box-checking thing. You know, God's not amazed at your ability to actually do this. But if you have a relationship with somebody that you love with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, do you really say to them, look, I'll give you a shout next week? No, you plan on spending time with them every day. It's not hard. You know, it's not hard to spend that time with them. You know, if you'll get the discipline, and you know this as a believer, you can open your Bible and you can talk to God and get right with him, and it's sweet, isn't it? It's not a chore. It's not a burden. It's not something, oh, I got to do. It's sweet. What about you doing that every day for the rest of your life? What about you getting so it was just a habit of your life? So that you didn't plan on any days. I know some people that plan on having devotions 5 days a week and they take 2 days off. Where do you get that? I know some people and they go on holidays and they take time off from their devotions and time off from church. Hold on a minute. That doesn't kind of make sense, does it? I mean, if this is a relationship and I love him and I want to walk with him, I'm going to just make a part of my life. I'm going to make a part of my life and I'm going to enjoy him every day. And here's what will happen. I guarantee you this will happen for you. You get this going in your life and you'll get to the place where if somebody took it off you, you'd cry. Because you want it. Because that's what it's about. It's about a relationship. It's not about you having to go through a certain spiritual discipline because that's what's required of you. No, enjoy him. I challenge you on it. Try it out. You know, set the time aside. Go to bed an hour earlier at night. Get up an hour earlier in the morning and spend that time with him. Mothers, listen, I realize for you, you got kids and their needs won't wait. They won't quit. Look, you know, you got to find some time when you can actually do it. And dad, by the way, it's important for mom. You need to make time for her so she's able to actually spend some time with God. But spend time with God. Enjoy him. It's the engine that drives everything in your life. How can you have a relationship with somebody and not communicate with them? How can we love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind and not spend time with them? Let's make it the plan of our lives, the habit of our lives, that every day we spend time with him. Let me talk to you about something else. What about church? What about coming to church? Now, praise the Lord, you're here on a Sunday morning, and I'm glad you're here on a Sunday morning. But, you know, we've got three services going on where people meet to encourage each other and to be encouraged in the Word. Now, I know a lot of you don't. And look, I'm not about guilting you into doing it. That's not going to help you. You know, oh, the pastor's making us come, so we got to come. But don't you think you might be blessed if you came and spent time listening to the Word? Don't you think you might be blessed if you spent more time? I'm not phoning anybody. I'm not going after anybody. That's totally between you and the Lord. But don't you think it would be a help if you could enjoy more time with him? I would love to think that, you know, you're not here, but, you know, you're listening to stuff and you're reading your Bible and you're spending time with him. But I know in the busy world that you and I live in, you know what? When we don't set time aside to meet with him, meet with his people, what happens is we end up in a place where we're missing out. And I realize, listen, you know, across the world in Christianity, across the Western world in Christianity, you know, people are dropping the evening service and dropping the Wednesday night service and so on. Because you know what? Everybody's too busy. But what are we too busy for? Are we too busy for church? Well, that's one thing. Or are we too busy for God? Oh, listen, how dreadful that would be if that were the case. One other thing. What about fasting and prayer? Now, I realize, you know, again, this is a day and age when we don't do spiritual disciplines. And again, look, I'm not asking you to check the box on church. That's not going to help you. I'm not asking you to check the box on fasting and prayer, but don't you think there are some times in your life when it might be good for you to put other things aside and say, oh, Lord, I need a meeting with you. I need to spend time with you. Lord, I'm putting these things aside because I want you. And you just get alone somewhere, you and God, and you seek him. You get alone with God and you spend time with him seeking his face. Don't you think sometimes he has something to say to you that he can't say to you in the cut and thrust of your life? And he wants you to spend some time with him. And again, you know, it's not so you earn, you get merits, or you're a good person because you fast and pray, but because you love him and you want to be with him and you want to hear from him and you spend time seeking his face. You know, maybe you need to fast sometimes from media. Just put the media aside. Ooh, that's getting nasty now, isn't that? That's getting down in the means. Maybe you need to put that stuff aside sometimes. Because, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to hear from you. Don't you think that if you and I would make it important enough that we actually put some things aside in our lives to seek his face? The first of all, that would be kind of, you know, realistic for somebody who loved him with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. And secondly, don't you think that we would meet with him in a different, in a special kind of way? Now, you know, listen, he loves you. And he wants relationship with you. And whenever you make time for him, I guarantee you he's going to make time for you. He will be no man's debtor. That's what the Bible says. You're never going to come to the place where you can tell God, I've given more than you've given. He will be no man's debtor. If you will make time for him, he will make time for you. And you will be the winner always in this relationship. But let me encourage you, develop some spiritual disciplines that are going to help you. Final point. Live in the moment with God. You see, we're very compartmentalized in our minds, aren't we? You know, we have our church times, we may have our devotion times, and we have our life times. Right? So we have the sacred, holy times, and we have the secular times. And the sacred, holy times and the secular times are totally separate in our lives. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And this is the Shema of Israel. And it really was the way the Israelites were supposed to live. And let's read through it, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The first thing is to be in your heart, right? And you're supposed to talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. I think he's trying to communicate something to them, isn't he? He's trying to communicate that he wants his word and him to be the central focus in their lives. He wants it to be there all the time. He doesn't want them doing this division of the sacred or the holy and the secular or just the regular stuff. He wants to be in everything in their lives. And I think we do ourselves a great disservice when we don't actually buy into that. God wants to be in everything. Now, you know what? When these people were walking by the way, it wasn't a particularly holy thing. They didn't have to be going to the synagogue or the temple or anything. They were just walking by the way. It was, you know, a secular activity, if you like, but God was in it with them. When they sat down, when they ate, whatever they were doing, God says, I want to be in it with you. I want to be part of it with you. And I think we need to do that. I think we need to recognize, no, hang on a minute. I don't have this secular part of my life and this holy part of my life. No. I have a life that I want to live with God. And all of it becomes holy. Even putting out the bins. It's all holy because I'm walking with God all the time. Let me tell you, if you start to do this, what you'll find is, you'll find God is there when you need him in the strangest times. You'll ask him to do something and he's there. He's involved because he wants to be there. He wants to be invited into your life. He wants to be invited into every part of it. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on my gates. He wanted his word for the Israelite to be everywhere around them. Why? Because he wanted to be with them. He wanted to be involved in every area of your life. Now, what about you? How much of your life do you spend with God? Well, I get 30 minutes in the morning, I spend my time with God, and that's a lot for the day. We're kind of like that, aren't we? And I go to church, and that's a lot for the day. No, he wants everything to roll into this relationship with him so that he's involved in absolutely everything. He wants it to be a relationship, the ultimate relationship in your life where he's involved in absolutely everything in your life. And you know the thing about Israel? The promises to God for Israel are far-reaching. He promised to bless every area of their lives. And he did. When they would walk with him, he would manifest himself in such power in their lives that nobody could beat them. That nobody could go up against them. And when they didn't, he had to create needs in their lives to draw them to himself. The story of the book of Judges is Israel sins. Right? When Israel sins, God judges them and sends in someone to give them a hard time, the Philistines. One of the other nations would come in and would rule over them. Israel would cry out to God. Because the burden was so great and God would send a deliverer to them. Was it because he hated them? No. Yeah, at one point he says, that's it, I'm done. I'm not coming to your party anymore. I'm not delivering you anymore. You just keep going your own way. And you know what happened? They came to the place where they're crying out to again. You know what he did? He delivered them again. But you know that the book of Judges, though, is a low point in Israel's history? It just gets worse and worse and worse. You know, because they weren't doing this. They weren't enjoying him. They weren't spending time with him. They weren't being blessed in their relationship with him. And it was there for them. Now, it's there for you and I. God invites you into this wonderful, sweet, beautiful relationship with him. He says, come. Come. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come. Enjoy this relationship. And we sit and we have a choice to make. What am I going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep him in his place in your life? Or are you going to let him in to just infuse himself through every part of it? To talk about him, to think about him, to be with him all the time? Are you going to let him be your life? If you will let him be your life, he will bless everything else in your life so that it will be better and not worse. He says, put me first. And watch what I will do. Yeah, I don't think it's so difficult. I don't think it's so hard. The only thing that God is asking of you and I really is, are you willing? Is what you want? Do you want me? And do you? Because you know what? If you want him, he's there. He's there already. He's shown how much he loves you already. If you want him, you can grow in this relationship, and it can grow so deep that he will be the love of your life. He gives it over to you. you choose. You won't get it all right. You'll fall and you'll fail. But you know what? He's made provision for that. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're not saved, he says, listen, come to me. Whosoever will, come. I'll save you. He wants a relationship with us. The only question really is, do we want it? Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your time with us today. Thank you for dealing in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for showing yourself in this room. Now, Lord, would you draw us into a sweeter, deeper relationship with you? The piano's going to play quietly, and I'm just going to give you a moment between you and God. If there's something you need to confess, confess it and make it right. Get it out of the way. Don't hold on to it. If you want to sweeter relationship with him, just between you and him, tell him that right now. Let him know. If you're not saved, listen, tell him you want to be saved. Whatever it is that God is dealing with you about, just respond to him. If the piano plays quietly, you do business with God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for helping us. Oh, Lord, may we enjoy that sweetness with you in Jesus' precious name.